Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what is going on, and welcome to another episode of the Urban Pitch Podcast, the beautiful game of life, part of the Believe Network. I'm Ramsey Abushala, editor of UrbanPitch.com, co-executive director of Vibes. To my left, Bridget Flores, Julio Montero. So what's going on, y'all?
Woo-woo.
This is some fake energy going on right now. Bridget came in here, dragon.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you know, she's maybe might have had a long day yesterday, might have not. But we're professionals here, so yeah. we gotta get things.
We're good.
Things going.
We're in here. It's Thursday.
It's a Thursday.
Friday Junior.
Yeah.
We in here, living it up.
We out here.
Woo woo.
Summer's coming up. CONCACAF Nations League going on this weekend. So the start to the busy summer, I think, is this weekend. I don't think it officially starts till
this month, basically.
Right.
Summer started with me January. I haven't stopped.
Yeah. We've been in summer since last summer.
His name isn't Julio for nothing. You know what I mean? Like,
you know what? July.
Yeah. So we got a lot to talk about today. There's some stuff going on, obviously, in the soccer world. But first off, let's talk about LAFC, because I think it's been a rough couple of weeks for them. Maybe a little bit of a hangover following the CONCACAF Champions League final. Lost to Lyon. So in the three matches they've had since then, Atlanta United and two games against Houston Dynamo, they've been outscored 5-0, haven't won, two losses, one draw. They have not looked like the team that they were before heading into this. I think they were pretty much cruising for the most part through the MLS season. And we haven't seen, 4-0 loss to Houston. Granted, they're in Houston. That's not the easiest place to play. But, is it time to panic now for LAFC, or is there still time to kind of, right the ship?
I just think it sucks to see them be in the position that they're in. And just as much as we say with Galaxy, like, we want them to level up. We want them to start playing good. We want to see a strong rivalry. LAFC has been riding off of a high from the championship win. And I think that we saw that momentum continue as soon as the season started. Like, they picked up from, like, where they left off. And now I think they're coming towards, like, a lull in their season. And I don't think it's time to panic. I think we are just seeing them kind of go through it, like, post-championship.
They're human after all.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that this is going to be, like, this is, like, determining the whole success of the season, but I do think it sucks. And obviously, you already know, like, people are, like, running off of this and being like, you know, where's LAFC at now? Like, where's, you know, like, where are the winners? Like, of course they're going to do that, but I don't think it's anything. At least for me, I don't think we're in a panic mode.
Things just have to click. Carlos Vela missed a penalty on that game where they tied. He got a lot of flack, but they just got to see one goal and go in the net, and then it's going to be game on. This is a good team. Has a lot of great players, has a lot of big players, was created for big, big moments. They fell short. That's always hard. You got to go through it, but they're just going through it. Let them just figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they look a little bit fatigued, and it's not going to be easier for them. They're still packed schedule.
And then they're playing a weekend, Wednesday, weekend,
yeah,
Wednesday.
So it's three games in the next 9 days, which is pretty strenuous. And they are a deep team, and we talked about this before. But and it's obviously way too early to make this.
We still have a July transfer window.
Yeah, yeah. But we saw this with Seattle last year, made a big push for a CONCACAF Champions League. Won the title, but ended up, you know, maybe kind of, I mean, they were hurt down the road, and it caused them to miss the playoffs. Now, obviously, plenty of time left for LAFC.
BetOnline.ag is your number one source for all your basketball info, stats, news, and scores. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest player reports for this year's pro basketball playoffs. BetOnline is always your sports information headquarters this season, as we have you covered for all your sports wagering needs. Basketball, MLB, NHL, hockey, right to UFC and boxing. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games you can play right from your home. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get into the action. Be sure to use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts.
And I don't think, just with the talent, the sheer talent they have on the roster, they're a little bit banged up, they're a little bit injured, they're going to make some moves in July, like you
definitely
said.
Definitely going to make some moves.
So I don't see this happening, but let's just say, worst case scenario, it's a collapse, a full-blown collapse. Vela doesn't find his old form. The injuries continue. July transfer window doesn't pan out. What does that mean for teams, now that it would be 2 years in a row, about the CONCACAF Champions League, where, yes, obviously it means something, but at what cost are you going to go for this tournament? And I know that they're changing the prize money, they're changing the format and the title of it, so it's going to be a little bit more prestigious, it's going to be a little bit more to play for. But do you still think that teams are going to go for it this early in the season, make that push, make it be known for the, is that title, does it have enough on its own to warrant potentially sidebarring or crashing the rest of the season?
Definitely, it's a whole continent title. It ain't like you're winning. All right, it's cool to be the league champions, but like going to UEFA, Real Madrid, the last three seasons they haven't had good seasons, but for some reason they found a way to be Champions League, and they was like, all right, it's more important than the league title. And for me, it is. You're going against 29 teams, becoming 30 soon.
Yeah.
That's cool, but when you became your continent's champion, you're going with every nation there's league. So it gives you more of a boost. Like, yeah, I'm the best team in the region, and you get to play the champions of the Euro Cup. So you get to see
You get to go to the Club World Cup, which is cool, and Seattle got to do that. They lost in the first round. Mm-hmm. But the prize money, I'm glad that they I don't think they released exactly what the number was, but I think they're doubling it. So probably somewhere in the, you know, at least millions of dollars. Before it was 500K. You
won 500. Messi's coming too, so this
is... And this is doubling it for after Leon won?
I don't exactly know. I don't know for sure, but I know that I think it's going to be moving forward. I think they increased it from 500K this year, but even still, it's going to be higher once it becomes the Champions Cup, not the Champions League like it was before.
Well, I think one thing's for sure, like this, the CONCACAF is like, that's not going to go anywhere. You know, it's going to continue to happen. It's going to continue to be a part of the team's schedule, and I think that for any MLS team, it may be like Seattle, what we saw last year, LAFC, what we saw this year. I think it's a growing pain for all MLS leagues to realize, like, you go for this, you're aiming for this. Like, there are, like, repercussions, and there come, like, a lot of that fatigue after, because you're trying to aim for this one championship while you're entering your MLS league. So I think it's just what we talked about before, how we don't know if MLS teams are at that level to be able to compete in these like multiple leagues and championships while also running through their MLS games.
Well, also the FIFA break, hopefully, I know MLS usually keeps going through the FIFA breaks. Like you see this this past game for LAFC, they were they were a few players down because for national team duty. So like, hopefully MLS can see this and realize that yes, let's give them a break. It ain't like past seasons where we only have one or two players going to their national teams. We're having way more players now going to represent their national team. So MLS, hopefully they can see this and be like, you know what, let's give that week break for these teams.
Yeah, they're not on the same international calendar as everyone because they were playing in 2018. This year, 2022, it was different because they're in the off season. But 2018, they were playing through the World Cup. Like, there is, you know, that summer, everybody is off anyways, just with the way the schedule works, like the international schedule. But with MLS in full ring over the summer, they weren't taking international breaks. So that's a good point. Is the scheduling too for CONCACAF Champions League? It's the beginning of the MLS season versus the middle of the Liga MX season.
The end of the Liga MX.
Yeah, end of that league. Sorry.
So they're like, most of the teams are in playoffs already.
So most of the teams have been playing there in full form, you know, and we've talked about and it's been talked about a lot. So it's kind of difficult to adjust the MLS schedule towards the international schedule with some of the like Toronto, Minnesota, some of the Northeast teams, or the Northern teams, like in the winter, like playing out there. Like, we saw the men's national team play in Minnesota. When was that? February, January?
How cold it was, like
minus 20 or something like that on the field.
Shouldn't have been played.
Right. So it's hard with the climate. So that's one thing to think about too. But you know, it is the way it is right now. And I think the CONCACAF Champions League prize money should go higher because that means more teams will start to take it a little bit more seriously. I think it's been taken seriously. But now with teams starting to go down and going for that title at the expense of the MLS Cup or the Supporters Shield, I think teams, you're going to start to see maybe, and it's only, you know, certain MLS teams that qualify, right? But maybe teams start to kind of put the brakes on that a little bit more moving forward.
I don't think so. Like, if you're a high caliber team, there's no reason you shouldn't go for a title, any title. It's the first title up that comes around in the MLS season if you're one of the winning teams, and you should gotta go for it. You cannot worry about MLS Cup. That's always in November. You gotta go for it and not even think about it twice. If you want to be in an elite team, a prestigious team like LAFC wants to be, they have to go for any championship.
I don't disagree with you, but what I'm saying is teams might look at that and be like, yo, like these are our goals. Winning a CONCACAF Champions League title is an honor in that very few MLS teams, only one MLS team has it. But that's the only, to me, that is, you see the benefits that you get playing in the Club World Cup, sure. But I mean, the prize money you get from winning the CONCACAF Champions League might not justify putting all your chips, putting all your eggs in that one basket, and potentially derailing your MLS season.
Especially for MLS teams that we're a selling league, you have to go to these stages where you play bigger teams to see any breakout stars to go to these bigger leagues, because we're a selling league. We don't want to keep our good players. And we've seen it time and time again with all these teams. FC Dallas, LAFC, LA Galaxy sending Araujo to Barcelona. Like, that's what we have to aim for, because we need eyes. Well, now that Messi's coming, we're going to have way more eyes, but we're a selling league. So MLS Cup, so what if you don't win it? You got to go for that CONCACAF title so you can keep making money, because the money's usually made by selling your players.
Yeah, that's a good point too. That's a good point, is to, you want to market your players to bigger audiences and playing at the Club World Cup. But do people care about the Club World Cup? Do people care about the Club World Cup?
Argentinians do. They hit Boca Juniors, beat Real Madrid, was it 2001? And they still talk about it to this day.
Right. But like, if you asked like a normal soccer fan, I don't think in terms of like titles, like trophies, the Club World Cup doesn't rank in the top three for like a European, mm-hmm. European club. Like, Real Madrid was winning Club World Cup after Club World Cup. That they weren't marketing that as much as they were some of their other titles, obviously. I am in the boat that the Club World Cup should be a bigger deal. I think it's a really cool competition, and it's very unique in that, you know, all these teams from all around the world get to play each other.
Yeah, definitely.
And maybe even expanding that and putting, you know, Europa League winners or even the like the runners up.
So,
like, I don't know. I don't know what they need to do to make that a bigger deal, but I think it should be a bigger deal.
There's been rumors. There's been rumors about like starting like a real like Club World Cup where like I don't think it's a full 32, but I think it's going to be, like, 16, and then just, like, battling all, like, they got to qualify to even get in that. Mm-hmm. And I think that'll be amazing because there's a lot of club teams.
And there's more money in that. Like, FIFA, like, these guys are, like, they're greedy, you know what I mean?
But the thing is, they steal athletes. Like, when are we, if that does happen, when are these athletes going to get their break?
Take a break, right.
Then they're going to be on rotation 24/7.
Yeah, exactly.
And it could be maybe that if we do have more MLS teams winning the CONCACAF, then that could give the World Cup more clout.
You think MLS teams would be giving the Club World Cup more clout?
They don't.
We might make it to the semifinals with Inter Miami.
But like, it'd be cool. It'd be cool. Yeah.
Yeah. They got to make it out of the first round. They got to make it out of the first round. Okay. Yeah. I think that's an interesting point too. So sticking in LA, sticking with LA, there's some more big news here in Los Angeles with Angel City FC. Freya Coombe.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Reports
terminated.
She's parted ways with
you're fired
after synonyms. A very underwhelming start to the season. Halfway through that NWSL season,
how many wins do they have?
Two. I'm just kidding. I think they have 11 games.
Six losses.
Six, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. It's three draws.
Two wins and three draws.
Two, six, and three.
The team has not been fully like. Team players are coming back from injury. Hopefully, they can turn it around, but. It looks so hard.
So Freya,
it's been rough.
She has not been set up for success. So I think I don't know what the ceiling for, like, if there's a good coach there, I don't know what their record would be because they're decimated with injuries. Their best players are out constantly. They've been very unlucky. So the coach can only control so many things, but I think some of her tactics, some of the lineups that she puts out, just it wasn't helping the team. So, you know, you could say a bunch of things. I am in support. I think you have to. They lost to Chicago, the last place team in the league, you know.
Yeah.
And it didn't look pretty. They were at home, you know. Like, last year, they missed the playoffs. They could have sealed. I mean, they could have secured a spot in the playoffs. They were playing Louisville City at home, second to last place team. With a win, they're in, and they lose. So, it's they found ways to lose games, and that's most of the time, more times than not, like illustrative of what the coaches
and
is doing.
With this LA market, like, they had all that hype last year. I can see now it's not the hype that was last year because LA, if you're winning, they'll support you. But once you stop winning, they support you less.
Right. I think the hype, surprisingly, the hype is still there. Because they're still attendance wise, the games are going. The brand is still very strong. They did a very good job establishing that brand. But like you said, Julio, that only will last you so long in LA. And being second to last halfway through the season is, I think now is the point where people are gonna be like, "Yo, do I really want to spend a Friday night or Sunday afternoon
watching my team lose?
You know, like watching subpar soccer." I don't know. It's fun. It's a party atmosphere before the game.
But it's
like a family atmosphere during the game. It's fun. It's still fun to go to games, but it's not fun to watch that. Like I will say this, you know, as a fan, someone who's been to most of the home games this year, it's not been fun to watch this.
I've been to one game and they won, I believe. So
I think
Julio, I gotta go back.
Yeah,
I think
Julio's is the charm here. Speaking of which,
I also said LAFC has been losing since I haven't gone to a game. So I guess we need to take ourselves back to the stadium.
Job. Yeah, y'all are doing your job. Right.
I'm still out here.
Yeah,
I'm out
You're
here.
You're outside, just in other places.
No, I'm out here. Anywhere you can, you'll find me in the most random places. I'm out here. Like, what are you doing
here?
Hey,
I've
seen nothing.
I've taken myself indoors for a little bit.
Indoor, Bridget. What's going on?
I know, right? It's It's I'm going through some
stuff.
It's
like an oxymoron.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'm going through some things too, so I'm in out even more.
I needed a break, honestly. Yeah. I can't keep up. I needed a break.
Julio's just catching his second wind here.
No,
he's
getting started. Yeah.
I'm taking this weekend off because summer's officially starting. So I'm going to have to take this week off.
Yeah.
All these late people to the party go like, oh, let's go hard. I'm like, I've been going hard all year. Relax. Right. Right. Taking this week off. Next week.
I think it's a different phase.
It's a weekend. It's a LAFC weekend game. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be out here.
Yeah.
All right, catch us.
We're preparing ourselves for summer.
Yeah. So this is coming out Tuesday. So this coming weekend.
Oh, yeah.
First day of summer.
Yeah, find us outside.
Catch me outside. Yeah. How about that?
How about that? Just bringing out old memes, nothing like, what's that, like 10 years old now? Probably.
Yeah, I think so.
Damn.
Maybe, I don't
no
even
way.
Know.
No way, no.
Maybe a little bit less.
Yeah,
know.
Probably.
Like, it was maybe like 2015, 2016, yeah.
Okay,
so
okay.
7 years.
Maybe like six years.
Yeah.
It definitely was around that time.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I know.
We're starting to get into like now memes, like memes of memes are becoming.
Damn, that's crazy. I know that is crazy.
Like, it's like exponentially. Like I don't know. It's crazy. I can't keep up with this stuff. I know. But hopefully, Angel City can turn things around. Kristen Press is starting to make some strides. She's out here. I don't know when she's going to come back. Sydney LaRue's come back.
Came through.
We're going to lose a handful of players during the World Cup because, MLS, NWSL does not take those international breaks.
But that might help us because there's better teams. As soon as they go,
they need to take over.
We probably have like two or three players that are going to be leaving us. Most of the squad is going
to
be leaving.
That's what they need to take
San
action.
San Diego Wave, they're going to have a few players leaving. Yeah.
So that's going to be our stretcher. We got to make up some ground.
When the players
but
are
like,
gone.
All right, so let me get this question. Sydney, Christine Press, and
Alyssa.
Alyssa, how good can that three be up front?
That front three, I think, would be up there. I don't know if that would be the starting three because they like to. I don't know, like fitness wise, where Press and LaRue are at, and I don't know if they're gonna throw them out there. Just like that, like LaRue came in as a sub and scored against Chicago. I would assume they're going to take things slow with Kristen Press, and even Alyssa Thompson isn't playing full 90 minutes. I mean, she's 18 years old, so
she should be playing. I think 110
that
three, plus.
Yeah. So that three, if we can get like to where they're in full form, that's a pretty solid. Like you're not going to find very many. I mean, Washington Spirit have a very good attacking front. There's a handful of others, Owl Rain are very dangerous. But that front three, if we can get – the midfield is the big question, though. I mean, they have Julie Ertz. It's – Savannah McCaskill hasn't been – she's been up and down. Lily Nabette's starting to get some playing time. Danny Weatherholt has been in and out. So that's the big question is that midfield is whether they're getting – being able to consistently hold – possession, make plays, be creative instead of just kind of hoping something will happen, which I think has been a lot of what
most of the passes are like that.
Yeah, and a lot of that has to do with the coach and what she's trying to the tactics that she employs aren't playing to the strengths of the team.
Right.
And that's what a lot of people including myself are pretty frustrated with. So hopefully we can get somebody who can kind of inject some energy into the team because the roster is—it's not bad. It's not a bad roster. Granted, it's not fantastic. It's not like San Diego where you're
potential.
Looking. There's talent from the top to the bottom, but there's like this is not a second to last place team.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm optimistic with. I don't know if we're going to turn things around, but I'm hoping it can't get much worse than what it's been.
And I think of you, everything you're saying right now, like you bring up a good point related to my question to you all was. If Angel City is taking this trajectory, making these decisions based on what is happening with the team, changing, the head coach, I'm wondering, why isn't that something that LA Galaxy is doing or did? Because that's exactly what happened with them.
No, but they did fire the person running the front office at first.
Right.
So they let her go first, and then now they let the coach go. So The Galaxy's
so could it be?
Galaxy's following some steps. But yeah, like the front office hasn't been like the best front office in the league as well.
Oh, you're talking about Angel City?
Yes.
Yeah, Angel City. So Ennio Loco, who was the started off as the GM last year.
Got into a little scuffle in the field.
Yeah, got it. There was some friction between her and Freya that was in that the HBO documentary.
I need to watch
that. The team chose to stick with Freya. Now Annie's doing she's doing analysis. She's killing it. What she's accomplished. You know, playing for Chelsea, playing for Juventus, playing for all these teams.
Ignoring Ramsey at
she big leagued me at the Chelsea event that we went to. You know, I went to shake her hand and she kind of just looked at me. But wow. You know, no hard feelings, Annie. I get it.
We happy you got. I don't care. We happy you got.
I'm an intimidating.
He was like, that's why they fired you.
You know, I'm not the most welcoming person. You know,
that's when we drop beer and make noise.
And blame it on Julio.
And blame it on me. I don't care. I take the blame. That was a great, great time. So we were in this little talk. I guess Chelsea came and basically how like soccer is moving forward in the U.S. And it was really, really quiet. And we were like, me and this guy are playing around. And we're sharing a beer because we're pretty blessed.
No. So it was an open bar.
Okay.
At the event, they had, you know, beer, wine, had like a, you know,
all the good stuff,
charcuterie board, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. And we were munching,
free,
bro.
For free.
And everybody, you know, took a small little plate here. They got a glass of wine. Bro, me and this guy.
I took the whole board.
Our plate was freaking stacked to the top. We were carrying two beers, had one beer in the back pocket.
Oh my God.
Glass of wine.
It was at the Soho House. And we were living.
We said, what?
Open bar?
All right, give me two of those. Give me some of that. Gilbert. Was on the same floor, like what? It was us three.
A whole cart for you.
Yeah, us three were just like had bro, like stacks had beers. Of plates.
And John and Gina were there. And they're like, let's go double head one more time. But then we got kind of shy because we had like a whole bar already next to us.
Yeah,
it was amazing. But great times.
So then what happened was Julio and I finished all our drinks and Gilbert had one extra beer, so he's like, yeah, you guys can split this. Mm-hmm. So
we looked at each other like, split?
Yeah, so we'll split it. So I had my half, and I was going to give it to Julio, and I gave it to him, but I knocked over all the plates. And bro, it was like dead quiet.
Oh, my God.
And it was like a record scratch. All the plates fell.
I went like this.
Yeah. Embarrassing.
And I was just like, you know, I just put my hand over my face.
You can't take
like,
you guys no, anywhere.
But what pisses me off, though, is Gina takes his... Julio, what are you doing? Like, it was Ramsey.
You're getting in trouble for him.
Yeah, and like, John, big time, caught some favors from LAFC to even get me in. I'm like, it wasn't even me.
They gave you a whole speech.
Oh man, no worries. We went to the upstairs bar at the Soho House, and. You know, shots.
Yeah, we got.
Oh, that was a mistake though. Cause I'm like, all right, so
he's
like,
give me the house, give me the house tequila. You know,
here's the thing. So I'm like, all right, I'm trying to be nice. I'm like, all right, got some little money in my pocket. So I was like, honey, it's five of us. All right, this round's on me, guys. No, but I'm trying to be cheap. Let me get the house tequila. The house tequila was Casamigos.
No.
Like, where's the cheap stuff at?
You don't got something lower than that?
It was $50 a shot. I'm like, here's $150. And everyone's like, you're good. I'm like, still paid for that.
A single tier came down.
And like, that's how you only
Mom, I'm not going to pay rent this month. I'm
dead.
Still went from round two,
you
though.
You got to take advantage of the free stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you really do. That's really why do. We were, I mean.
But then you also have to be subtle.
We
got to
be
guys.
Subtle.
What
we were not very subtle, but at the same time, we learned lessons.
And there was a lot of people like, they make big names over there in the soccer space there, and we were just.
Making a mess in the back.
Yeah. I mean,
taking advantage of the
that
food.
We wouldn't be us if that's what we weren't doing. You know what I mean? If we had small plates and a couple sips of wine, then we wouldn't be doing what we're doing. Yeah. You know? Then at that point, then you know something's wrong.
Yeah, we're bringing the vibes.
Yeah. You know, like it was stuffy in there.
Chelsea legends.
You both saw the opportunity and you took it and you said, this is where we shine. Boom.
Yeah.
Urban pitch.
Boom. Yeah. Urban pitch. Drop mic. Boom.
Okay. So let's get into the next topic.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ted Lasso wrapped up its series finale a couple weeks ago. We've had some time to kind of digest it, finish it up. We haven't had a chance to really talk about it at all on this podcast.
Are y'all caught up?
So we finished it. You know, I have some thoughts about it. But before we get into the final season, since we haven't really talked about this, I thought it would be good to just kind of talk about Ted Lasso as a whole.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like as the phenomenon, like how it caught on, mm-hmm. it kind of caught people by surprise. Mm-hmm. So just to give a little bit more context into the final season, right? So it started 2020.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
During
the pandemic, Ted Lasso spoilers coming ahead. So if y'all haven't watched it, I mean,
pause, go watch, and then come back.
Go pay the $14.99 for Apple TV, cheapskates.
Yeah, right.
Go watch it.
Or get up.
Unless you're a student, then you get it for free.
Yeah.
Or go buy a new iPhone. You get 3 months.
Right. Exactly.
Or use someone's
password. Just hit somebody up. So comes out in the middle of the pandemic. I believe it's one of the first shows that Apple TV had. Mm-hmm. And not a lot of people, like, because it was an adaptation of
a skit.
Commercial. Yeah. Like commercial, mm-hmm. an NBC mm-hmm. Premier League commercial that they did years ago, like in the 2000s with Jason Sudeikis.
That's his name.
People, people were like,
Jason.
Yeah, my boy Jason.
Last name?
I know he's a friend. I know. Yeah. First name basis.
Yeah, come on.
Got you.
So people Ms. were like, yo, what are they really making a story about or an entire show
off
about
of a commercial?
This? What's going on? And came out, it caught a lot of people by surprise because it was dark
amazing.
Time, a lot of dark time mm-hmm. Dark time for a lot of people. And it was a very wholesome comedy that really hadn't been seen for a while. A lot of the comedies at the time, the sitcoms were a little bit more, you know, edgy, had a negativity to them. And this was like more wholesome, feel good. I can just put this
all
on for
the
30
dad
minutes,
jokes.
Check out, forget about, you know, what's going on outside, being in lockdown.
Just be with Ted.
It came out in the perfect time.
Yeah.
And it was a hit. People loved it. Apple TV made, and I don't even know, I don't think they had plans to expand past it. But it was a big hit, especially in the United States. They were doing events. They were coming out to LAFC
LAFC
games.
Believe.
Yeah. They had like the biscuit truck coming out to the LAFC tailgates. All this stuff, and it kind of caught on. It was renewed for a second and a third season, and now having been wrapped up. What overall, just regardless of whatever season it is, what's your guys' thoughts on the Ted Lasso phenomenon and how it caught on? And caught a lot of people by surprise.
What I liked is like it was a show inside a show, because if you see how amazing it was written, it had pop culture references. Mm-hmm. So if you know, you know, mm-hmm. a hip hop culture. Mm-hmm. Jason was wearing that shoe game. So like
mm-hmm.
it had everything that somebody wants to see. And like what Bridget said, the dad jokes. And you're like, oh, my dad used to say that joke. So
cute,
like
yeah.
it was just amazingly written. It just, first episode I was hooked.
Yeah. Right.
So, and then the story we kept going, and you're like, yeah, that guy.
My God, I freaking hated it. What's his name?
Nate.
Oh, yeah. Freaking
and
then, Nate.
He had and a little redemption to
yeah,
that.
And then, welcome back, Nate.
But like, oh, my goodness. So that man had me so mad.
I liked more the written aspect of it, because like, that was a great lyric right there.
It was sharp. Yeah. It was very sharp.
Yeah.
And like Julio said, there's references littered throughout. They did a whole episode where it was movie. They're taking stuff from movies mm-hmm. here and there, and doing homages. You know, the little one-liners here and there that on second and third rewatch, you pick up and you're like, oh, like you know what I mean.
What,
so
yeah.
that to me was the biggest success of the show mm-hmm. is that you know it was rewatchable, and that there's some stuff that you might have missed the first mm-hmm. time. It was feel good. It's like a comfort show, you
it
know.
Was.
It's like The Office,
so wholesome.
Or you know, some of these other shows that you just, you know, I had a bad day. Let me throw on some Ted Lasso, you know, or
you just want to see it.
Yeah, or what?
Picks your
you got nothing
up.
Else to watch. Let's throw on. You know what I mean? So that's what it became pretty quickly,
mm-hmm.
and I think as the second season and the third season came on, that novelty might have wore off a little bit, and it kind of tapered off. There's still some moments throughout that was like, oh, this is fantastic, and the talent of the writers and the actors and all of that shone through. I think for the most part, like, even though I thought season three was a little bit flawed, there were some things that, you know,
too much.
I didn't really, and we can get into that. I think overall the experience was enjoyable. I'm glad Ted Lasso's in my life, you know. And I think just from like a soccer perspective too, it's like, you know, this is really cool that this show based on soccer is really catching on across, you know, a mainstream audience.
I think that's what I enjoyed too. It was just it was such a wholesome show. It was funny. It distracted you from everything in a good kind of distraction way. And I think for me, the biggest thing was that it had a lot of like the soccer culture behind it. And it introduced a perspective that, like, if you don't play soccer, if you don't know soccer, like, it gives you that perspective. And like, it allows you to find a way to become a fan, and you enjoy it and you learn about it. And also on the other side of things, like the football culture not in the U.S.,
right.
You know, like, that's another piece of it too that I really enjoyed. It gave me, like, I got to learn and like recognize like different things that we don't do in the U.S. within like football culture. Like for example, with my friend, Jess, my best friend, I was like, dude, you should watch it. You should watch it. She started watching it, and she loves it, and she thinks it's super funny. And she didn't grow up playing soccer, but like, she connected with it. And I think for me too, it was the mental health awareness. I think that was really cool.
Yeah.
And also just the mentorship aspect behind it. Like, for me, like, I'm a big, you know, I work with kids. I like the mentoring aspect of it. And like, to me, it gave me so many, like, oh my God, like, I've had those moments, or it's so cute, or like the way that he uplifted the team and the way that he kept them going and how he like wanted them to grow and things. For me, definitely all of that was just like, it like touched my soul.
And the great thing is, like, three different people can watch the same episode and we're all going to laugh at different points.
Right.
And two of them are going to be like, why are you laughing?
Yeah.
It's like, if you know, you know. It's a great thing.
So it uses Ted Lasso's character as like an avatar for people who are not familiar with soccer. Mm-hmm. So, but it's not like over explanatory of everything, to where it's like someone who knows about soccer is like, yo, I already know this, you know, like, you know, fast forward. Mm-hmm. So different people get different things out of it, which is hard to do. Mm-hmm. And I think just shows the quality of the writing, because, you know, it appeals to a wide range of people, where people who might not know about soccer are like learning through Ted's eyes of like, you know, oh, what does this mean? What is, you know, the offside rule? You know what I mean? Like the Mickey Mouse hand.
Right.
Is that the guy with the Mickey Mouse hand? Like in that first episode. So you're getting kind of like an education of soccer through the show, but people who are soccer fans, people who love soccer, you know, already know this stuff. And there's like little references here and there to like, you know, elements of British soccer football culture, and all that, where they can pick up on and they understand too. So it's like written with, it's not over-explained. It's not pandering to a certain. It's written for everybody, and I think it's very hard to do, and it executes that pretty well, especially that first season. But did you guys want to? What are your thoughts on the last season? On the
last
season,
dude. That part where the episode where they're in the locker room, all the coaches, and Ted Lasso's like, "Wait, I don't get it." So we got relegated to go into the Championship League, but now we're in the Premier League to go up to the Champions League. Like, this doesn't make any sense. Literally, that's how I feel. I'm like, why are there so many leagues? Why are there so many cups? Like, what is going? Like, I feel like that. I started dying at that, because literally, that's how I feel.
Yeah, and that's something too, where it's like, you might not know about what it means to get to the Champions League or the Premier League versus the Championship. And that's funny in itself, but also for someone who does know about that stuff, it's like, yeah, I mean, why are you getting relegated to the Championship and then you get promoted to the Champions League? Like, what, like, what's going on? Like, why is
and Premier
different?
Sounds more elite than Champions. Like, what?
Right. Yeah. So, it's very clever in that.
Yeah.
So, and there are moments littered throughout season three where it's like, yo, these one-liners are incredible. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. like these like subtle jokes, mm-hmm. like, you know, like whether it's an R&B reference, you know, old school hip hop reference, where it's like, yo, like that's like, this is, I'm on the same page with mm-hmm. this. But at the same time, they made the episodes longer
yeah.
in season three. They added more soccer gameplay footage, mm-hmm. which I liked that they didn't do in the first season, especially. Mm-hmm. And then towards the end, they were just kind of throwing all these like plot points, like that were, it felt kind of crammed. Mm-hmm.
It seemed like a season in one episode, because I feel like I had to follow all these storylines. It was like, wait, when did he find out this guy came out?
Right.
Like, yeah. Like, oh. You're like, no, but that was just an example. Like, I was just like, dang, I got to go back to episode five because I missed something because I don't mm-hmm. not get episode six.
So one of the episodes, it's towards the end of the season where Nate leaves West Ham, mm-hmm. Keeley's PR firm gets defunded, mm-hmm. and all that happens off screen. So it like starts off and you're like, yo, did I miss something? Like, you know, like Nate quits his job because
he wants him to cheat on his girl.
He didn't like what Rupert was doing. He was trying to
press him.
Like
he invited him out with a time with the ladies.
Like, yeah, well, it didn't feel like it was earned. Boss. It didn't feel like it was earned to me. Mm. And when you extend the episodes, that would mean that you have all this time to kind of build up that, like, build up the plot mm-hmm. to where Nate quitting might make sense.
Right.
To me, it's like, okay, there was only really one. Like, he was calling Rupert a great boss earlier in that episode, and all mm-hmm. of a sudden you're gonna quit because
he wants you to cheat on
your
girl.
One scummy thing, like, yeah. Granted, like it was.
It's just cheating. Like, let it go.
No.
Oh, that's not where we're going with this. My bad.
That's not where I'm going with this. Granted, it's not a great thing to do, but it's
read
something
it wrong.
That like it's something that like you can just be like, yo, man, like I'm gonna set a boundary here. I'm not gonna quit my job as the manager of the job, like my dream entire, you know, what I've been working for my entire life. So to me, that didn't make sense.
Show self-control.
I feel like for me, it kind of did make sense though, because I was like, he never really wanted to leave. Like, I feel like, yeah, he went to a great team. He was the head coach, whatever, but like, he never looked happy there. And I feel like you really had to like, with that, it was there without having to explain it or go into it. Like, he was never happy.
Because it's not him.
He was never happy with what he had. He tried to make his own Diamond Dogs at West Ham. Right, that was hilarious. Right.
That was funny too. So I think that it does make sense that they kind of built up to it, but mm-hmm. it still felt sudden that was the final straw.
That shows me that Nate has no self-control, because you can go to town with the ladies and not do anything.
He wants to be Nate.
I'm just mad that
he was mad because he's never had that opportunity.
No, I have self control.
Sure, you do.
I can say no. Simple as that.
So I mean, but when you're gonna make the episodes longer, I think I just felt like they could have made a few like
added some of those details.
So it didn't feel like it was thrust upon us in those last 3-4 episodes.
Yeah,
and then the last two episodes were like an hour and 20, hour and 30 minutes long. Mm. It's like, how much time do I, like, I really gotta keep like up that with this.
Yeah.
I could turn it on for 30 minutes, tune everything out, and be like, yo, that was a great episode. I'm done.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, I wanted more. I wanted more. Like,
I was not a fan of season three.
When I was watching season two and the beginning of season three, I think the first couple episodes in season three, I think, are short, right?
They're still like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But
even for me, I was just like, they just went too fast. And I hated how I had to wait a whole week for the next episode. I was like, what the heck?
But I do like that they did. I am a big fan of the weekly.
Definitely.
Rather than the Netflix model of just binging. Because like you'll watch like Beef or whatever, Stranger Things. That whole season will come out and you'll watch it over a weekend. It's like.
And it's dumb. They come out on a Tuesday and like, I'm not sleeping. Like,
right.
I watched the whole.
I'm not sleeping. I
watched the whole season in one night one time. Go to work like this.
And then you can't talk to people about it because it's like you don't know what episode they're on.
Yeah, you don't
Whereas
know.
If it comes out one week at a time, like Succession, like HBO shows we're doing, you can be like, yo, you catch the episode of Ted Lasso last week, and then you can have that conversation. Whereas it's like, yo, what episode are you on in Stranger Things?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I'm on episode 3. Damn, I'm on episode 6. Like, yo, you got to catch up. Mm-hmm. So you can't have those conversations all the time. That's
true. Because Beef was like Ted Lasso in all three seasons. It started off great, then at the end it sucked.
Yeah.
The ending was just not.
Oh, my God.
It went off the rails, figuratively and literally. But, yeah, so... I don't think it really, it's hard to land the plane. It's hard to end things. It's very hard to end things. Mm-hmm. You see a lot of series that last season.
Are they not doing any more seasons?
I don't think they are. They might do a spinoff.
Oh my God. The I don't want, team. Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
yeah. So, I mean, we're spoiling. You know, if we warned you multiple times, if you're getting spoiled right now, that's on you.
That's the only way they can
write
it.
That'd be sick, though. Imagine.
So, a spinoff with the women's team, I think, is a smart.
Who will be the Ted of the women's game?
The female
Freya Coom, maybe
too soon. yeah, that'd be interesting. I wonder. Yeah. Oh my God, it could be like no, I don't know.
The girl from Parks and Rec.
Oh, Amy Poehler.
Yeah,
she's hilarious. Yeah, she's hilarious.
A good one.
Yeah, but I don't know. That was just my biggest qualm with the last season, and then the soccer. Like, come on.
I enjoyed the soccer part,
but.
Yeah, it was
to
cool.
me.
Yeah,
was
I like the soccer aspect.
But
of
like
it.
The choreography of like the scenes, like when I was watching it, mm-hmm. like all the great sports movies and sports shows, like they get the sport right, like so it looks believable when they play. Like there's some like when Jamie's like dribbling through traffic and like some of the slide tackles, like are just like yo, that's like nobody would ever do that. And I get it's very difficult to choreograph those like soccer. Yeah. Moments like some of the saves that Zoro does, it's like that doesn't look authentic. So I think that could have been better, especially because they added all of those in this last season. It's like, okay, we're seeing more soccer, but it's like I'm laughing, like unintentional.
Yeah,
you know, it's like
unintentional. It's like cringy
funny.
A little bit.
It's just like funny to be like, yo, like that would never
so
happen.
Fake.
But at the same time, like. Maybe it's better to get more on-pitched action.
You know, but I like the episode where both players go to their respective national teams, and and like Rios just switches up. Like we are not friends anymore.
Yeah.
Type stuff.
Like, don't talk to me.
But like that's a great reference because like all right, probably I never would get it at the pro level, but growing up at club level, we all played for different high schools, so
right.
it'll be the same thing. Like we'll play club, we'll be. Best of friends.
Well, once you're playing in your
high school team against each other, and you're like,
I'm coming for
that's
you.
The ops.
Yeah, definitely.
I thought that was hilarious.
That was really
That's probably my favorite episode of that third season.
That was pretty sick. Rojas.
Football is life.
Rojas, call him Rios. Rojas.
Rios.
Rojas.
He gets
Rojas.
All the Mexican players confused. So.
That's Sanchez for you. Oh my God.
Ramirez.
I came out with you.
Yeah. But I mean, any other final thoughts about Ted Lasso as a whole?
I wanted to continue. I don't know how, but I just wanted to keep
then,
going.
And then like the relationship stuff with like, Roy, Keeley, that,
oh
and,
my
and
God,
Jamie,
the triangle
that they like kind of put that off till the end too.
Yeah. Where they ended up fighting or something.
Yeah. They got in a fight, which I thought was funny too.
Yeah.
But
it was long overdue.
They could have. Yeah. I mean, they had the whole relationship with Keeley mm-hmm. and, Jack, mm-hmm. her boss.
Oh yeah.
But I feel like they could have still built that up a little bit longer, especially with Jamie and Roy becoming friends.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought that it just felt so like shoveled in at the last minute.
I could see that.
And then they were even kind of hinting at Sam and Rebecca.
Oh
like,
my God.
Rekindling that.
No,
like,
but she ended up with that guy from.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. From Amsterdam.
Yeah. From Amsterdam. Which I thought was dope. Like,
yeah,
that's literally
that
her
was,
man.
That was a cool kind of tie in.
I honestly felt. Like so sad that like they ended the way they did that episode where they met.
Right.
I was
right.
just like, it felt so mysterious, and I'm like, oh my God, like what is?
She's just trying to see them seal the deal.
Yeah, and they did. That was the relationship I was waiting for.
I just know if you're going through a couple problem, never trust your therapist. Hey, how you doing?
Right. But that Amsterdam episode I thought was really good, and it was kind of like a standalone, mm-hmm. you know, where mm-hmm. they got a chance and expanding the length. I mm-hmm. think allows them to kind of play around with stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a really good episode.
Yeah, that one was.
You know, they all kind of went on their own journeys. The team was fighting about how they should go
out. Oh my God.
You know, Ted was out here on mushrooms. You know, trying to figure out his stuff.
Happens.
So I think you know moments like that are cool, mm-hmm. and I think. The show wasn't like the plot wasn't the main reason why I was tuning into the show. Like mm-hmm. I wasn't tuning in to see, oh, I wonder what's gonna happen next.
No, you know? I was just there
to hang out.
Yeah.
So, and I think that was the biggest issue with season three was that the plot was a little bit kind of all over the place.
It seems like every show was like its own show, and it was like it didn't really tie in for me. Right, yeah, connect right. for me.
So that was never the strength of Ted Lasso.
It was the jokes. It was the dynamic, the team mm-hmm. dynamic. The dynamic of all the coaches, like for me, like that's what I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Then again, it got too real for me. Like, I like the silly comedy without thinking like over everything.
It did get a little bit emotional.
Yeah.
But I think like emotions were a big theme of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like handling expressing. Emotions, mm-hmm. Being able to talk about emotions and all that. And like, also, it was kind of weird the way Ted was talking to his mom.
Oh my god, that was weird. That was a weird episode.
Kind of came out of nowhere. That was the final episode, no?
No,
that was before.
Oh, the final episode for season two?
For season three, when he was like telling his mom.
No.
Stuff.
When they were going off on each other.
Yeah.
No, I think that was like the beginning of the season.
No, bro.
It's not the final episode, bro.
It was like one of the last few episodes where he was telling his mom, "You like, you know, f you."
Yeah,
thank you,
I know. It wasn't season three. It wasn't the end of season three.
Yes, it was.
No, it was not.
I literally just watched this.
I literally just saw the last episode today.
So it wasn't the last episode. It was one of the final episodes, though. Where
he goes off at his mom.
Yeah.
All that trauma comes back.
So,
and I'm like, I don't want to get fixed. I love my mom.
right. So it makes you kind of like, it became a little bit more ambitious with the themes and what it was trying to talk about. And I think it hit on a lot of the stuff. But like you said, Julio, like sometimes I'm just trying to, you know.
Laugh at silly jokes. Like, so one of my favorite shows of all time is Scrubs.
Uh-huh.
So even though it has like, it's like nurses and doctors, like, finding ways to make a person in the hospital life fun, like explaining like your family member has passed away. They found ways to just make you funny, even though it was super serious.
Yeah.
I feel like Ted Lasso this time, just there was points where I was like, ha ha.
What's this feeling?
So like, I just feel like it just got too serious for me.
There were times where the emotional stuff hit, and there were times where it got a little bit sentimental and maybe a little bit too just
Legs don't cry.
Over the top. But that's not what, like, I commend them for going for it.
Definitely.
And I think some parts worked, some parts didn't. But for the I mean, overall, like, you know, I think it's like the world is better with Ted Lasso.
Definitely.
So
100%.
It was like the Club of Crows when it came out.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
Club de Cuervos.
It caught Netflix by surprise because
Netflix
was supposed to do one season.
Yep.
And then they had to do three plus like two spinoffs.
Yeah.
Same. That's kind of similar to what Ted Lasso was like, where they weren't
Ted
certain.
Lasso was like the English version of Club de Cuervos.
But Club de Cuervos didn't pop off to like 2 years after it came out.
Yeah.
It was just there on Netflix.
Especially like mainly during the pandemic too, because no one had nothing to do, so people were just watching everything on Netflix.
So where does this where does Ted Lasso, to wrap things up, where does it land amongst like the sports TV shows, because you have Friday Night Lights, All American, some of these other I'm trying to think what else, what other series. I don't know if like The Last Dance you can throw in there, because that's more
no, it's all docuseries.
Like Last Chance U.
Yeah, Last Chance U. That, I mean, I think that's all kind of looped
All American.
In.
Yeah.
So where does it stand in terms of like a sports piece of, you know, not it's not cinema, it's not movies, but of TV.
But I think it's a different realm, because All American is more like.
Drama.
It's like a soap opera.
Yeah.
And
also, this is like, I think, and y'all could correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like this is the first like series I see about soccer aside from Club de Cuervos, which was
Spanish. Also, doesn't really count.
So I feel like it's the first one to like open the opportunities for other shows related to soccer or also just sports.
Yeah. Netflix had one called, I think, Thunderbolt or something like that.
Uh-huh.
It was English, but it really didn't like.
They had that one show about the like the first FA. It's like the FA Cup, like you know what I'm talking about. It was a while back. It was a British show about like the guys, like the first non. Like elite, like the first like working class soccer team to be formed. I can't remember the name of it. But there's been a couple. This one, I mean, especially from like a comedic standpoint, it's very unique.
Yeah. I think it's the first one to actually do numbers.
And soccer movies in general, because I mean, there's a million boxing movies, there's a million football movies, baseball movies, you know, basketball movies, but you don't really see besides like Goal.
Bend it like Beckham,
you know.
The Big Green, baby.
Big Green.
What's the Amanda Bynes? Ladybugs.
The Amanda Bynes one where she's like,
she's a classic.
Yeah,
she's
that
a man.
Was
That's
like,
a classic.
She's the man there. That was
Amanda Bynes got to get it together.
But I mean, she had it going on.
Yeah, she had it going on.
That movie was good.
Soccer movies, for some reason, haven't really caught. Shaolin Soccer is another good one.
Oh my god, classic! That's an epic movie. Yeah.
Any movie that has like 2 second delay on English, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Well, no, you gotta watch it with the
okay. Talk about the soccer plays in that movie.
Yeah, but I mean, that's crazy. but it's better. It's better in that because it's not like you're not taking it as being realistic.
Yeah.
So like you're this.
I'm gonna go home and watch this.
I know.
I'm gonna go home and watch
it. That's a classic movie.
That was like my.
They had like Shaolin a lot, right?
Yeah. So they had a Kung Fu Hustle, which was like by the same people who made Shaolin Soccer, but it was a Kung Fu movie. And that movie is hilarious.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Shaolin Soccer is the.
Yeah.
English delay for me all the time. From Jackie Chan, like the old school Jackie Chan movies.
Or Kung Pao. You're a big Kung Pao guy.
Hello.
All right. Anything else that you guys wanted to throw out there before we wrap things up?
Yeah. I just want to talk about the Reggae Girls real quick.
It
sucks how this team is coming from a federation that has no soccer history, especially in the women's game. Outside of the CONCACAF, after the U.S., now Canada has joined in. Now the Reggae Girls have done it miraculously with all that they have against them. Federation not supporting them, all this struggle that they're going through, paying their own flights, not knowing if they're going to have a camp before the World Cup. I just feel like the Jamaican Federation got to do better, especially for these girls. They made a whole nation believe, little Reggae Girls believe that could be us one day. And what they're doing is ruining the dream for the upcoming generation. Not this generation. They did their thing. They qualified, but now you're hurting that, like them girls, like, yeah, I want to be a women's soccer player. Mm-hmm. How, if you know that, what's it going to lead to?
And they've been talking about this for a while because even the 2019 World Cup, it was the first one that they qualified for. You know, I spoke to Chinelo Asher about who we did the podcast with never made it to air. She was talking about this in, you know, years ago, and they had, you know, a whole, like, they were speaking out about it. Bunny Shaw, who's their best player, one of the best players in the world, is very vocal about these things, and it just doesn't seem like there's been much progress on that front. You know, Javane Brown, we had him on the show. He was talking about, for the men's side, there's not a lot of support from the federation. Mm-hmm. So there's some really good quality players coming out of Jamaica. The kits are fantastic. Some of the best coming up here for 2023 World Cup. You just want to see better from that federation because...
And they're representing their country. Like, why would you not want to support them in that way, you know? And, like, that's how you, like Julio was saying, like, that's how you bring unity. That's how you strengthen the country through the people, through having someone, like, that they can look up to, or, like, a team that can, like, bring, I don't know, just motivation in some way to the country. Like, it sucks to see that they really have to like fight and like make it out on their own without that support.
Yeah. Especially from a country that we talk to different players that have been around them from the Olympics or the games, like, Jamaica brings the good vibes. They bring the party aspect.
Passionate.
Yeah, and they're so welcoming. Come on, join the circle. They're playing their music. So Jamaica Federation, do better. Yeah.
For real. Because their people are super nice, humble, super inclusive, and they love their culture, and they represent hard, and they're very family oriented from what we've seen, the players that we've had a chance to talk to. So it's just like the federation isn't representing who they really are, and that's not cool.
Still trying to get the Jamaican KFC.
We gotta hit Kingston.
We can't support until federation turns up for
I'm gonna hit you with one of the
Urban Pitch boycott.
Once that happens, we'll pull up to celebrate.
I'll hit you with the
All right, so I think we can wrap up there. Julio, I'm glad you brought that up because that's a great point and a good topic. But
good job, Julio.
Shout out to Julio. Julio's out here doing his job.
Research this. No more today.
Jamaican.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I'm joking.
He's trying to score some points.
He said, we don't have a big topic today related to Jamaican. Yeah. You know?
I'll figure it out.
I'm going to shoot you the link. Let me know what you think.
She hit me with a...
He was like, we could watch it together.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. This has been the Urban Pitch Podcast, the beautiful game of life, part of the Believe Network. For Julio Monterosa, Bridget Flores, I'm Ramsey Abushala. Keep the top 10. We got more episodes coming to you. It's a busy summer, so we'll be out here.
We outside.
We'll catch y'all next time.
Afuerita.
Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.